You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 180. 128.
That's right, John. 180.
180.
We're coming at you already on a Sunday night. We're watching the Yankees Phillies, John.
The World Series for all you UK fans.
What is this, game three?
Four.
Four. Yankees are up 2-1.
2 what? 2-1.
Yankees.
I'm drinking Mai Tais.
I'm drinking water.
You got to try these, man.
Maybe at break I'll come and have a Mai Tai. A Mai Tai.
It's got rum. Yeah, rum.
What am I thinking of that has tequila in it?
Margarita.
A margarita, right. I can't drink margaritas.
I made these and Special Ed's wife almost threw up on the ride home from a party we were at.
Nice.
She drank like the whole jug of them.
Nice. Oh, that reminds
me. She's like, pull over. Pull over.
My wife's like cupping her hands under her mouth. Here, it's okay. Right here. Right here.
That is real sacrifice right there. I would never do that for anybody. Except maybe my kids.
My wife's like that, man.
Wow.
It's okay. Lay your head in my lap. It'll be okay. Take deep breaths.
You mentioned Special Ed. That reminded me of something because Rick wanted to borrow a movie at practice. And you said, I think Special Ed still has it.
Yeah.
And so that reminds me, John, I need to borrow your ladder again, if that's all right. Your ladder.
Which one?
I don't know. The one that extends to 30 feet.
What happened to Jeter, man?
No. This is a commercial.
Oh. Sorry.
It's a commercial, man.
Which ladder? The extension ladder?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, whatever.
Got to clean my gutters again. And paint. I got to paint.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You got to paint your gutters?
No, I got to clean the gutters and paint in the inside. We're painting our stairwell.
Okay, here's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
As much money as you paid for that house.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get the things that go over the gutters that keep them from getting leaves in them?
I don't know. Do you have those things?
No. I have somebody come and clean my gutters.
Well, I don't clean way up at the top. I just clean around the porch and the garage gutters.
Oh.
Yes.
So you don't get,
I'm not going.
It doesn't drip on you?
I'm not going higher than 25 feet. No way.
Yeah, man, that's high.
How was your Halloween there, John?
It was okay. I think we're not sure. The son might have the swine.
From what you described to me, it doesn't sound like it because, according to Stefan C., once you get it, it's sudden onset and you're out for 3 days. You can't move.
Yeah.
And I asked your wife how Nate was doing, and she said, it seems to be getting better. So,
well, he's been on Tamiflu for 2 days.
Tamiflu. No school for Nate tomorrow, huh?
I don't think so. They're not allowed to go to school with a fever.
Right. Stupid
and
rules.
And the Tamiflu, it's an antiviral. It's a heavy-duty antibiotic. We just hung out, you know, with the trick-or-treaters, and then although the kids were like, that came up, yeah, we couldn't wait to come to your house because it's so cool looking. Thanks.
Yeah!
We had Scully and the flame coming out of his head on the piano.
Uh-huh.
Kids decorated the piano with cobwebs, and then I got this light that spins these spirals all over the place, and they were digging that with the smoke machine.
You get a lot of kids?
Not really. Our block isn't really a great kid block. It's the middle block. which is south of your in-laws.
Yes.
That gets the kids. Although I did run into somebody that palled around with your wife.
Really? Who's that?
Actually, the somebody's mom.
Yes.
I was talking to her. Well, I don't want to say names, you know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Her name's Liz. Her mom's Betty.
Yes, that was one of my wife's very best friends when she was growing up.
His brother, Dan, who used to play hockey with your wife's brother.
Yes.
We had a good long conversation about the hood.
Oh, really? Oh, blah, blah, blah. About the old hood or catching up with people in the hood?
Both.
What are the people in the hood
up to? She's been there since 1975. She was interested to know, oh, what is your wife doing? You know, your wife.
Yeah.
Told her where she worked. And she made a big mistake in marrying you.
Yeah, okay. What else?
No, that's it. We talked about all the people in the neighborhood that I used to know that moved out, moved away.
Well, my Halloween...
We were hanging out by Special Ed's house. We had a couple of fire pits going and drinking.
Drinking what? Beer?
Yeah, beer.
Beer.
We're drinking beer. We're drinking... My wife made apple cider margaritas. I made hot apple cider with spiced rum and hot damn cinnamon schnapps. And all kinds of food. Special Ed cooked up a bunch of brats and people brought stuff. The whole neighborhood was, it was like a block party, sort of. And they just put a big table out and with candy, and kids would walk up. Yeah, take what you want. Oh, this is great. Are you guys having a party? No. And the wife and I were supposed to go as bacon and eggs, but my bacon costume was a little too tight.
And
I didn't alter it.
Purchased bacon costume?
Yeah.
So did your wife just go as eggs?
She went as egg.
She went as egg.
Sunny side up egg.
And you went as John?
Yeah.
Of John and Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, sorry.
That's all right.
Go on about your fucking Halloween, okay?
I can't remember.
Can't remember what you did.
I can't remember what I did.
My daughter went out with her friends and just disappeared, man. They scoured like 14 square miles of stuff, and they had to hurry up to get to one of their friend's ex-boyfriend's house.
Why? The ex-boyfriend?
I don't know. You know how chicks are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we did something. I can't remember. We did something in the day. I can't even remember what it was.
So what's then wrong with you, man?
We get home, and apparently for my wife mentioned that the city that we live in, the glorious city of Park Ridge, has 3 to 8 will be the trick-or-treating hours.
Ah.
Oh, I know what I did. I had to run errands. I'm running around to the grocery store, and then I got
me too.
I go to Morningfields. You know where that is, right?
Yeah.
And I can't even find a parking spot. I'm like, what the F is going on? It's like noon. It turns out all the parents are bringing their kids to trick-or-treat at noon at Morningfields, at Walgreens, like in the uptown area or the downtown area. The kids are trick-or-treating at the businesses. I just want to get lunch meat, and I can't even get a place to park.
Yeah.
No, all these businesses had, like Morningfields had Rice Krispie treats they were giving out. But I finally get in there, I pay for my lunch meat, and I go to leave, and there's 12 kids looking at me with their bags held open. I'm like, hey, you're talking to the wrong person here.
Come to my house.
Trick or treat. Yeah, get out of my way.
Grumpy old man, you're turning into one, man. Get off my lawn. Let me take your ball and whip it in the street.
I thought that, you know, if you're going to do that, then just do that. Don't come to my house.
Hey, did you pull the curtain over there?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So then we get home, and 3 o'clock, the kids start showing up, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't recognize any of these kids. And I developed this theory that they're busting them in from somewhere. We went through like 8 or 10 bags of candy. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And I did start to figure out that, yes, they're busing them in. Because
from where?
I have no idea, but my daughter gets her report card.
Yeah.
And she gets like test results for the school. And in the test results, it breaks down the demographic of who lives in your neighborhood. Whites, blacks, Hispanics, right? So whites is like 98%, Hispanic is maybe 1.5%, and black is 0.03%, right? Half of the trick-or-treaters were Hispanic and black. They got to be busting them in. Where are they coming from? And I have no problem with that. That is totally cool.
Yeah, because their neighborhoods are too dangerous.
The
trick-or-treat, here, here's a pound of crack.
The Hispanic and the black kids were so pleasant, such a
polite.
They would come, they would say trick-or-treat, they would say have a nice night, and more importantly, they would take one piece of candy. That's how I started to figure out who was busting and who was not. Because these Park Ridge kids.
I don't like Kit Kats.
They show up and they say, either they go to grab like 5 pieces of candy, and I got to say, hey, what are you doing? Or they ask me, how many can I take? How many do you think? I don't know. 2. Wrong. What happened to trick or treat and have a nice night and that kind of stuff?
I was giving out handfuls, man. And it was like falling all on the ground because I don't want that shit here. I'm like trying to get rid of it as fast as possible.
Well, we were doing that too, but within the first hour, we went through the first 5 bags. I'm like, hey, I'm going to be out. I'm going to have to start giving out like dozens of eggs and shit like that.
We still got a bag left. Yeah, I was giving handfuls of the shit. They're little pumpkins. I was giving them more than was in their little pumpkin. So I'd be like, and it was falling all on the ground. Oh my God, thanks. And Max was going crazy. My dog was barking. And then, because I don't do it from the door. I open that window that's right there. That way he can't get out. But he jumps up on the window, and all the kids are like, can I pet your dog? And he's barking like crazy. As soon as they reach their hand out to touch him, he's like,
yeah.
As soon as they take it away.
Well, I've been coming here for, 5 years to do this podcast?
He wants to kill you every
time. I come
time.
Here, and I was coming for twice a week for practice and the podcast. And the first 2 minutes I'm here, he's insane with the barking.
And the hackles are up and everything. Yeah. Yeah. Good dog.
So then 8 o'clock finally rolls around. I'm like, great. I've had it with these trick-or-treaters.
Teenagers, come on.
I got to walk my daughter over to a party. It's like about 4 blocks away. So I walk over and it's all girls. I had to make sure it was all girls. Hey, and I asked the woman, what time is the party over? 10:30. I'm like, 10:30? I'll be here at 10. I want to go to bed, for crying out loud. 10:30. So I was back at 10. She walked home. She had a great time. Oh, but then, so I walk her to this party. I get home. And then somebody's knocking at the door at like 8:30. I'm like, what the fuck? And I get up, and it's people from out of town, obviously.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Trick or treat to you too, man. Hey.
Was it Cheech Marin that came to trick or treat at your house?
Hey, where's all the people, man? Does this town have like a city ordinance or something about trick or treating? Because there's nobody on the street, man. I'm like, yeah.
There's cops, and I have a gun.
It's like 3 to 8, but, you know, yeah, just go away, all right? Leave me alone.
How about a candy?
What people will do for candy is unbelievable.
Hey, what's up, man? So Cheech Marin trick-or-treated at your house.
He did.
That's out of sight, man.
I said, where's Chong? Because he was there with two women.
No costume. I'm a pimp,
no,
man.
He was wearing a hockey. He was a goalie.
Ah.
So, for example, when I had the bowl full of candy, he couldn't even grab candy because
he had the big waffle mitt on.
The big waffle mitt. So I threw a Tootsie Roll at him. See how fast his reflexes were. Here, guard this. And I whipped it at him.
Nice. Yeah, we didn't have many kids, but our side of the block is lame. There's just no kids.
I don't like Halloween.
Some hot moms, though, I'll tell you.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Why not?
I just don't. I'm cynical. And it brings out the worst. I observe the worst in people. Like these kids who come around like 8 times to the same house.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you've been here before. Well, I used to do that. I used to go out as like Dracula and then come home and dress up as Ace Frehley.
Well, and some of these kids, one kid had a wig and a peace sign, and that was it. I'm like, well, is that a hippie?
Oh,
what are you?
You put some thought into that, dude. Get out of my face. I know. Most of the kids were all bundled up, so I didn't even know if they were wearing costumes. Trick or treat. What are you? I'm a lizard. Well, where's your costume? It's under my snowsuit.
Yeah, I'm glad that holiday. I don't like that holiday. I don't like it. It's a pagan ritual anyway. John, I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I know. It is.
It's about Satan. That's what it's about.
The kids love the decorating and all that.
Yeah.
Carving the pumpkins. And I took all that shit down today.
Yeah, so we didn't have anything really outside. We had a couple things outside, but mostly inside. We had a lot of decorations inside that had to be taken care of. We did that as well today as well, John.
Nice.
Getting ready for Christmas, which is, what, 8 weeks away?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it? No. Is it 8? Yeah, 8.
8. And today I was at my cousin Kevin. He had his son christened. I went.
That's nice.
Went
Hallelujah.
Out and ran into my aunt and uncle that I was with Eagle River last week with TP. And I was all ready to talk about Glenn Beck. And
nothing, huh?
Well, they got something else going on, and they were very aggravated, so I didn't want to bring up Glenn Beck and aggravate him even more.
That's why we didn't christen our kids.
Why?
First, because I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
Second, it's just a lot of aggravation. The wife wanted to do something, so we went to a Unitarian. We went to her house, her apartment, and talked about, I don't know, whatever. She's like, well, what do you believe in? I go, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Guy never touched home, man. Never touched home. So,
did he tag him?
No, he dropped the ball.
It doesn't matter. Did he pick it up and tag him?
No.
Because he never touched
home. So, we went to this Unitarian, and she starts going through her whole thing, and I'm like, whatever you want to do. That's cool. That's cool. She's in. The wife's like, well, we want you to be involved. I'll be there. I'll be drinking. I'll enjoy the whole thing. I just don't understand the point. And that's, you know, where you name the godparents, the godfather and the godmother and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a nice thing. We did it in somebody's backyard, and this woman, she's a Unitarian minister. She did everything. You know that movie, what's it called? God damn it.
The World According to Garp.
No. It's a science fiction movie with Bruce Willis.
Fifth Element.
That scene where they're doing the water and the fire and the air at the very end.
No.
You never saw the movie?
I did, but I can't remember. I was stoned.
You were not.
I can't remember it. I can't remember anything.
Who were you stoned with?
I don't know. Go on, continue.
I don't know.
Water, air.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Ice.
She was christened with water and air and dirt and fire. And that's it.
All right.
And then we never did it for Nathan, so that's that. But the last time I went to a christening, I was cracking up through the whole church part because everything the minister was saying, I was just like, oh my God, this is making me laugh.
Well, you know, in all of it, like the christenings.
And Jesus said.
Or even the funerals. It's not about the person who just died. It's about God and how great God is that he took this person. You know, so they sell it like everybody goes to heaven. But then when you're alive, it's no, you're going to hell.
Yeah. The whole time you're alive, you're going to hell. But at the very end, you're going to heaven. And God took this person and you can blame him. It's all his fault. It was this person's time.
Right.
And I'm thinking, just like I said before, if that's the case and God decides what the time is, why do these believers even look both ways when they cross the street?
Right on. Well, God did give us free will, John. Free will to look or not.
If there is free will, then what's the point? There's no free will if you got a
supervisor,
an invisible man up in the sky supervising your life and then deciding when you're going to die. Hey, you got free will, but I'm going to make sure I take you out on my time, not yours.
Yes. Well, he's omnipotent. Omnipotent. All those things. Benevolent.
It'd be nice to have God here to counsel on this christening thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's not going to happen.
I don't know. He might show up. Who knows? I don't know. So anyway, I'm talking to my cousin who was 45 minutes away last week when I was up north, but we never hooked up.
Ah.
So he asked me how everything went, and I gave him a quick summary, you know. Especially that when TP's there, his mother feels a lot more
energized.
Of a brothership and energized to talk politics. So I was talking to my cousin. I said, you know, I really made a conscious effort because I'm perceived as arrogant and pompous. I made a conscious effort to just ask questions and not give an opinion. And when I said arrogant and pompous, my cousin looked at me like, yeah, okay, right. You're arrogant and pompous. And then when I finished, he said, and condescending.
Oh!
See, I forgot about that one. So I'm arrogant, pompous, and condescending. You see. But there's still things I have to work on.
Oh, Jesus. How can that be? Well, what are they then?
I don't know. They're my family.
Righteous? Relatives. Righteous? Is that what it is? You're arrogant, pompous, condescending, but we're righteous.
I don't know. That's a good question. But I was all prepared to talk because I watched Glenn Beck for the first time, like a whole segment of Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
And I was all prepared to talk about Glenn Beck. And the problem, the same problem Glenn Beck has, my family has. They, in the scope of their ideology, it's all fucked up. They don't have one ideology. They have a bunch of mixed up ones that when you bring it up to the top, they contradict each other.
It's Mex messages.
Yeah, it's Mex messages. The same with Glenn Beck. He on one hand, he's a free market guy. But then on the other hand, he pushes for stuff that that would not make it a free market anymore. And I lost my train of thought.
Stop watching the game. Stop it.
No. He's a free market guy. But then the one thing that I saw he was doing. Oh, the other thing I like about Glenn Beck is he uses a blackboard.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you that's contrived, though, to make the people that are watching remember how good it was in the 50s and 60s, 60s. The blackboard reminds him of that, you know, how it used to be with when government wasn't involved and everything. So he's for free markets, but then in the very next segment, he talked about how corporations run everything, even the government. So you can't have both, really, in my opinion. You can't have a free market and then complain that the corporations run the government, because that's what's going to happen in a free market. So to prevent that from happening, you have to put regulations and rules. You got to wrap shit around that for the relationship between corporations and government. But he's against that. But then he'll moan about the corporations. So I just don't get it.
I remember Penn Jillette talking about a friend of his that's a Democrat, and his friend complains about corporations are evil and blah blah blah, and Penn's like, I don't understand that. What is he talking about? Corporations are just individuals. There are no groups, and I think I'm going to have to write them or call them or something, because I disagree. Corporations have protection. They're protected as they get protections of personhood. They're treated as people. And they're not. They're not people. They're corporations. They're groups of them. And liberties extend to just individuals. So corporations have to have, there has to be rules outside of just the, corporate ethics, because they can't be trusted.
And they've shown that over and over.
But the other thing is politicians can't be trusted either, because they're in bed with the corporations.
Right.
That's probably the only thing I could agree with Glenn Beck about.
Well, and that's what I do. The other thing I agree with him about is he says, hey, look this information up. But I guarantee none of his listeners, or a small majority of his viewers or whatever, are looking the stuff up. Because if they did, they would come to these conclusions that there's a contradiction in his ideology. But I do like that. He says, hey, if you don't believe me, look it up. I don't want you to believe me. Look it up.
Yeah.
But the other thing, he was going on this rant about revolutionaries. You know, he's talking about the original revolutionaries, Jefferson, Washington, Adams. And now these new revolutionaries.
The tea baggers.
They all want Mao. They all follow Mao and all this other shit. And they want to turn us into a Marxist country. Which I don't get that shit. Boy, I'm really struggling.
Nobody wants to turn us into a Marxist country. There's not. And if there is, it's a very small group of socialists that. Well, Marxist would be even further than socialist. It would be communism.
Right. Well, what he's calling for is a revolution. You know, we need to rise up and I'm thinking everybody has the ability to vote. You don't like it, you vote. Vote for somebody else. But what I think he's trying to say is this two-party system no longer works. But, you know, fine. If you want to get out of the two-party system, Republican, Democrat.
Yeah.
Do it at the voting booth.
This is High Caliber, the conservative rapper, Scott. This guy's got...
He needs a producer, first of all. No, I can't even hear him.
It starts out like that, and then it gets louder. Mr. Conservative, patriotic raps that are real. The only MC to ever rock on Capitol Hill. The Congress better think twice before passing them bills. Before we send them tumbling down like Jack and Jill. And tumbling down like a Jack and Jill. He's got a bro cough problem. Man, don't tread on me. You politicians need the truth, they'll set you free. And I hope you paid attention to the march on D.C. Charlie Sheen and these 9/11 truthers are losers. Please stop spreading all your lies and rumors. Lies and rumors. Like cancerous tumor. Just look at Harry Reid, Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer. The population of the march was over 1 million. And I have a new hero. His name's Joe Wilson. These crooks in Congress are making a killing. Same time, they're stealing the money away from our children. Patriotic people, throw your hands in the air and wave them
them around like you just don't care. We march on DC, but we can't stop there. We gotta spread the patriotic message everywhere. Patriotic people, throw your hands in the air and wave them around like you just don't care. We march on DC, but we can't stop there. We gotta spread the patriotic message everywhere. People wanna go against the word of God and live alternative. The media wants to crucify conservatives. Just cause we live,
you know, I'm not a, I don't know one thing or another about rap, but this seems to really suck.
When he says everybody wants to go alternative, he does his wrist limp in the video to imply gay people. Go out alternative. He's got one of those rolling L issues like Tom Brokaw, Liberty, and Pelosi, This guy said he was driving his car and his radio broke and it stuck on the Michael Savage show right after 9/11. And Michael Savage is this psychopathic neoconservative that just goes off. He's a racist pig and just spews hate speech constantly. And this guy, he listened to this Islamo-fascism and all this crap, and he changed his mind about everything, and now he's a conservative rapper, high caliber. But he's horrible. You can hear him like...
he's not high caliber?
That's his name, high caliber.
Isn't that ironic, though, that he's not high caliber?
No, he's not. And his rap, he can't keep up with the beat of the song. Like, rappers usually... there's like a cadence to their rap, you know, and they actually use beats. Like they'll do a triplet with the words, the syllables and the words, or they'll do 16th notes, and they'll rap, their syllables will wrap around the beat of the song. This guy just fucks up, and then he catches up to the one in the beat. He's just horrible.
No. Well, they must be listeners of us, though. They said no doubt. And a big shout
out to everyone. It's just one guy.
And a crazy big shout out goes to TTN Warrior Princess and Tetanus. Big shout out to Tetanus. Yeah, that's always a good thing to put in your song at the end. Shout outs.
Yeah.
To all the people that, I don't know, who knows what they do. So shout outs.
You're speaking about Glenn Beck and, you know, this and that. And Fox News is pretty hilarious. Jon Stewart did a really awesome rant about Fox News. And he ranted about all the other news media getting on this bandwagon. We were talking about the war on Fox last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to find out where there's actually news on the show, on Fox. And there was a letter written by some president of Fox. And the Fox guy said, well, it's we have opinion and there's news. And you need to, the problem is you're not figuring out what the difference is. That's not our problem. It's we do have news on the show. So he basically took the whole team of people that this guy said were opinion pieces, and it was like 99% of the Fox network, you know, Hannity, Beck, O'Reilly, I don't even know who all of them are. And then he put the news people, there was like three of them, and then he'd play like something that Beck says, and then following it would be 10 minutes of news by this journalist that would just repeat what Beck just said. It's pretty funny. But anyways, I got a piece here if you want to listen to it. It's a bunch of Fox commentators going off about this war on Fox. Then Stewart jumps in and says something because he notices something that one of the guys says. He thinks this reporter had said the same thing about Bush when Bush started slamming the media. And it's pretty good. Want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, here it is.
You've got the White House talking to Fox News like they want to censor it.
It's clear censorship, and it's, in my view, abuse of power from the White House.
They need to understand that they're not in Chicago anymore.
It's like a cabal.
Yeah, I likened it to what happened during the Cold War, when the Soviet Union especially tried to jam the signals of the Voice of America and Radio Free Europe, other entities that were trying to pump truth into the Soviet Union.
So Fox News is the Voice of America, and Obama is Stalin. Actually, that was Cal Thomas of Fox defending freedom of the press from government intimidation, as he did sitting in almost exactly the same seat over a year ago when Ed Gillespie, President Bush's counselor, wrote a letter criticizing MSNBC for pretty much the exact same thing Anita Dunn criticized Fox for. Tell him how oppressive the Bush administration is too, Cal!
What has taken the Bush administration so long? Just 7 months or so before they leave office, they're now taking on the media. Yeah. They should have taken on the media a lot sooner.
But I thought, Obama is Stalin. But Bush was stalling.
Doesn't that beat all, Scott?
That beats everything, John.
Now play that for one of your relatives.
Yeah,
well it's different.
I don't understand where they talk about censorship and jam signals. All the White House did was say, hey, Fox isn't necessarily a news organization, their opinion piece. You know, last week you talked about another story where they weren't going to send people to Fox News.
Right.
Which I hadn't heard. I don't know how that's shaken out, but they're not censoring them. The FCC is not shutting them down.
It was some staffer that made that decision. It was, you know, it's the wrong thing to do. It's just like, just ignore them, you know? I mean, they're imploding on themselves. There is like a huge demographic that watches them. But it's people that they just discovered cable TV. I mean, they're the people that send you those chain fucking emails.
Yeah.
You got to check this out. This is true.
Like my
mom. Send it on to everyone.
I got my first chain email from my mom. Yeah, I'll have to talk to her about that when I see her.
I used to get hundreds of them, and I'd go on Snopes, and then I'd email the link back to everybody. And that's probably where you get the condescending and smarmy and all that crap, is because you send back the truth, which they're not interested at all. That anything that somebody did some research to actually vet this information, no, they're not interested in that. It's got to just agree with how I feel right now and just keep festering.
Well, it's the same mechanism, whatever it is, that allows religious people to deny evolution and stick with creationism, which is impossible to do based on what we know. But they'll deny it, or they'll twist it to so their own belief system is intact.
Right.
I don't get it. I don't get that.
Unbelievable.
It is, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable, John. Oh, one other thing I did is I stayed up last night and I watched SNL. Did you see SNL?
No.
Ryan Reynolds was the host.
Oh, damn it.
And Lady Gaga. So I told my daughter, yeah, come on, let's stay up. She likes Ryan Reynolds. Let's watch a little bit of this. And we kept switching between the World Series and Saturday Night Live. Was it the World Series? I was watching Oregon USC game. I don't know. So we're watching, and you know, one of the things we talked about a while ago was Fletch. They want to make a new Fletch, and Ryan Reynolds is up for Fletch.
Yeah,
I think they wrote skits. This is just me, conspiracy theory. I think that Saturday Night Live made him the guest host, and then wrote skits where he portrayed all these different characters, and it was like informal. Screen test for Ryan Reynolds' Fletch. That's what I'm thinking.
Could be.
Because he was a different ethnicity in all these things. He was Donnie he was Donnie Osmond in one of them. But then they did some... I don't really watch the show. I have no idea. But they did some show with Adam... a skit with Adam Sandberg. Was like his hair was all spiked up, but he was kind of effeminate. and this black guy, and they did a music show. It must be a standard bit. And then they said Madonna and Lady Gaga are very special guests. And I never have seen Lady Gaga, what she looks like, because she's always got shit on her face.
It's crazy.
So there's two women come out, and I'm like, I have no idea if that's Lady Gaga or not. And the woman portraying Madonna, I'm like, is that really Madonna? I think that's Madonna. I think that, and I still don't know. I haven't had a chance to to look, but I think Madonna and Lady Gaga were in this skit. And then right after that, Lady Gaga performed.
Yeah.
And then we went to bed. But I have no idea. I think that that was really Madonna on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's quite muscular.
Well, that's, you know, I'm looking at it and she was so made up with the fake eyelashes. And I'm thinking, is that somebody
impersonating
Madonna?
Could be.
Or I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Nice.
But Lady Gaga is you got to see that performance there, John. That's something else. I'll tell you that.
I've seen her, man. She's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
She's crazy.
And then we hit the sack. And then you get the fall forward, fall back.
Yeah.
Fall back, and you get the extra hour. Love that.
Well, so you don't get an extra hour.
Actually,
it just goes back to normal time.
Yeah, understood. We're actually doing this an hour later.
Excuse me, Mr. Condescending.
Than we normally do.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, okay. Move along.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. Yeah.
Cool.
You see any movies this week?
No. Watch Beetlejuice with my kids.
It's the first time they saw it?
Yeah.
Beetlejuice?
Yeah. They loved it.
I saw one. What did I see? Well, I saw two of them. One was for school.
I didn't know it was a Tim Burton movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Burton, yeah. Alec Baldwin's in that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Young Alec Baldwin.
Danny Elfman scores the... Scores it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Management. Management.
Yeah.
With Jennifer Aniston and Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
I like Steve Zahn quite a bit, and this is a weird movie, John. It's weird. I'll give you a quick synopsis. A traveling art salesman tries to shake off a flaky motel manager, that would be Steve Zahn, who falls for her and won't leave her alone. And there's a, Woody Harrelson has a part in there of an aging punk rocker.
Nice.
It's kind of slow, it's kind of long, but I enjoyed it. I like Steve Zahn. I think he's good. And there's some crazy shit that happens in there. Just like not as crazy as Observe and Report, but pretty crazy.
It's a good movie, man, Observe and Report.
Yeah. That's what I hear, yeah.
That's what you hear.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
A lot of people like it, yeah. No, it is a good one.
Great ending, man.
It's good. one other thing to catch up from last week,
John.
We got
to see Zombieland, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Is that still in the theater?
I think we could get it at Elk Grove Theater for like $2.
One last thing to follow up from last week. We talked about the W at his speaking engagement.
Oh, yeah.
I have some more information on what he actually said.
Nice.
He had his debut Monday as a motivational speaker, John. Nearly 15,000 people.
He tore it up, man.
Yes. 15,000 people heard the former president, known more for mangling the English language than for his eloquence, reminisce about his White House days. Bush, who is writing a book about the dozen toughest decisions he had to make.
Dozen.
What do you think those were? The toughest decisions.
What tie should I wear today, Laura?
Didn't he have one thing where he was about the rug in the Oval Office? He was really proud of that decision because it brought everything and tied everything in the room together.
About the rug in the Oval Office.
Yeah. Guess how long he spoke, John? Guess how long the W pontificated.
40 minutes.
28 minutes.
28. Wow.
He talked, oh, look at here, he talked lighter topics such as picking out a rug design for the Oval Office that reflected his optimism. He's so goddamn dumb. Perhaps in a nod to his dismal 22% approval ratings when he left office, Bush noted that popularity is fleeting. It's not real. Okay, so the guy talks for 28 minutes, and his mixed message is this, that popularity is fleeting. I wonder how much they paid this total fucking douche.
I heard Terry Bradshaw was better.
I would think anybody. I think Elmo would be better.
Bradshaw was after the W.
The Cookie Monster
killed.
Would be better. Come on. He beamed at the standing ovation from the friendly hometown crowd. Looking much younger than his 60 years and relaxed, Bush did not appear to have an overarching theme. Gee, did you think, was that an expectation that he would have? But strung together anecdotes and jokes and frequently mentioned his faith in God.
If it wasn't for Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I don't see how you can be president without relying on the Almighty. Now, when I was 21, I wouldn't have told you that. But at age 63, I can tell you that one of the most amazing surprises of the presidency was the fact that people's prayers affected me.
Because you're getting closer to death.
I can't prove it to you, but I can tell you some days were great and some days were not so great. But every day was joyous.
And that he attributed to the prayers of others. Well, John, I can prove that prayer didn't work because I prayed to the baby Jesus every fucking day that the W would have some sort of mishap during autoerotic asphyxiation
like,
or some shit like that.
Like he jumped real high after he got out of the helicopter.
Yeah, and that never happened.
Lopped his head off.
So prayer doesn't work, W. His speech came after the crowd at the Get Motivated seminar, stood up and danced to the Beach Boys' Surfing USA and batted around beach balls. The well-publicized event appears to mark the beginning of a higher profile for the W. He said approval ratings of presidents often rise the longer they are out of office. Yeah, he better hope so. That's unbelievable. People would pay to see him do anything.
Yeah. It doesn't take many, you know. You can have a following of a million people, and that's a lot.
That is a lot.
It's a lot.
A million.
If you compare it to how many are in the U.S.,
that's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
Well, in Britain, where the W remains wildly unpopular, the media have been reporting his return to public speaking with incredulity. What does that mean, John? Incredulity. Incredulity.
Incredulous.
Some commentators recalled his famous flubs. For example, rarely is the question asked, is our children learning? And,
is our children learning?
I know how hard it is for you to put food on your family.
So I, Britain, right on to the Great Britain there for remaining wildly unpopular. Having the W remain wildly unpopular. Oh, you know what I heard? You know how they got this whole European Union getting started? Do you know who they're considering having run the European Union?
No.
Tony Blair.
Oh.
That can't be right, can it? That must be a rumor.
He's all right, mate. I don't know. I think some of our listeners think he's okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of one of those exaggeration.
We'll have to find out. We do have UK listeners, John. They'll have to get back to us on that.
Have to ask them. Yeah.
So the question is out there. How do they feel about Tony Blair running the European Union?
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Yeah. About Tony Blair.
How we doing on time there, John?
We're at 50 minutes.
Ready for break?
5-0.
Ready for break? When we come back for break, we have the greatest celebrity story ever, John.
Really?
I don't want to get your expectations
really?
Too high.
Really?
But this is the greatest celebrity story in TTN history. Also, we have
We got a message from Andrew UK.
Phone messages?
We got a Ben call. No, it's just one of those. He recorded himself talking and emailed it to me.
Very good.
Ben, Skype message, and he wants to speak to the, you know, being in a band at his age.
Oh, he wants to give some advice to Pat McGroin as well? We have some Bible news. We have Pat Robertson. We have science news with an audio clip for science news. And
I got the we got the Xenu Scientology, the guy Xenu. Who walks off the set.
Yeah, yeah, we got that. This guy, he couldn't talk about Xenu, so he got all bent out of shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Got a lot of stuff coming up, John, after break.
Yeah, a lot of stuff
break.
To cover, man. Got a lot of stuff.
I don't need anything. Break.
That's how a man call you a fucking faggot. You getting that ass, Larry. You know what I mean? You getting that ass, Larry. That's what the fuck
Hold
you
on,
do.
Save what that. Are you talking about? You save that.
Miss.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Save that, man.
For what?
When we talk about celebrity news, we're going to be discussing the Larry David Show.
Oh, I didn't know that
That's
was...
That's the greatest celebrity story ever. Oh. And then, just to... get a taste, a little taste of Larry David, I brought that clip in that we can play.
You brought it in?
I emailed it to you.
You emailed me a link, but I didn't record the whole thing. I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, don't.
Because you didn't give me any instruction as usual.
Sorry. Yeah,
you'll send me something, then I'll record, and you'll be like, "Oh no, there was just like a couple bits you could take out of there where he says fuck." You know, so you sent me this 20-minute link.
It was 20
minutes?
And
I just find the fuck. Well, it's like 3 minutes long.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I can't remember. Just to get a taste of the Larry David Show. I'll give you a taste.
Bend
over.
I'll put
more notes when I send
Well, that
links.
Would be helpful.
Yes.
It would be helpful, wouldn't
intent.
It?
Intent.
You think?
What is the intent?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think that we're psychic and we have telekinesis, especially, you know, like the two of us, we're like twins. But that's not always the case, John. It's not always the case.
So what are we doing? We're doing Living After Midnight and I Will Follow for the break?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay.
All right.
So I guess we're doing Living After Midnight, right?
This is from Thursday Practice.
Thursday
John.
Practice and I Will Follow from Thursday Practice.
That's right, John. Take us to the post.
All right. Well, this is Living After Midnight with a Kangaroo Court at practice Thursday night. I'm John.
I'm Scott.
And we'll be right back with Total Talk Nonsense right here, TTN.
Dawn. Love.
But it's your eyes. But it's your eyes. But it's your eyes. It's your eyes. You walk away, walk away. Walk away, walk away. I will follow. You walk away, walk away. Walk away, walk away. I will follow. You walk away, walk away. Walk away, walk away. I will follow. Walk away, walk away. Walk away, walk away. I will follow. I will follow.
That was I will follow.
Yes.
Thanks for jumping in there, man.
This is John and Scott.
John and
after
Scott.
Break right on.
Oh, I got a headache.
Some practice.
I was
Thursday.
Drinking the Mai Tais, man, and I don't know what happened. It went down the wrong pipe. I made some Mai Tais. What do you think, man?
They're good, man.
Not only do I make a good Mai Tai, I can produce some songs, man.
Right.
Check
on.
That out.
No doubt.
That's just practice.
It's just practice, Sean. That's out of sight.
Imagine what I could do if we really were recording.
Oh, I can imagine.
We should do a CD.
Okay.
I think we should do it. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, John. Celebrity news.
Celebrity.
This is not the greatest celebrity story.
It's not.
It's just a celebrity story, but we will get to the greatest celebrity story of all time.
All right.
Well, of so far. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be of all time. Eva Amuri. Do you know who that is?
No.
Eva Amuri. She is the daughter of Susan Sarandon. She's 24 years old. And her mother encouraged her to take on the role for Showtime's hit series, Californication, which required her to strip down. Eva
nice.
Went nude for the episode, playing a stripper and lover to Californication star David Duchovny's character, to which Sarandon reassured Eva to do it while you're young. It's not like Sarandon could put up much of a fight. The entire world saw Sarandon's boobs in a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I just shot a snot right out on my...
Anyway, according to Eva, her brothers... I am really struggling
you
tonight.
You sure are. Sarandon. How many times do you say Sarandon? Shushin. Sarandon.
She has two brothers, Miles, 17, and Jack, 20, weren't too happy with her sister's role choice. Says Eva, hopefully one day my brothers will forgive me. Have you seen that show yet, John? Californication?
No.
I've heard a lot of good things about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I don't have HBO.
Yeah, we don't get HBO either, but HBO stuff does come available on Netflix.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'll
I might
have to check that out.
Check that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's right. I could watch, what'd you say is a good show with Larry David?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It's a
yes.
good show, right?
Yes, and that's a great segue into our next and the potentially greatest celebrity story of all time, John.
Yeah.
Talking about the Larry David show. Yeah. Larry David, co-creator with Seinfeld of The Seinfeld Show. And I tell you, when you watch this Larry David show, you see where the genius of Seinfeld came from. It wasn't from Seinfeld, I'll tell you that right there. Seinfeld should go over and kiss this guy's feet every goddamn day to have be thankful that he had the career he had.
Be thankful.
It was because of Larry David. The genius of a Larry David.
Genius.
All right, so here, let's get into this celebrity story.
Larry David,
who portrays himself in this show, Curb Your Enthusiasm, has created quite a little firestorm that seems to be growing into a wildfire. It seems there are some people who are pissed that his character on HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm pissed albeit accidentally, on a picture of Jesus Christ. In the episode, Larry accidentally splashes a picture of Jesus when he is urinating at someone's house. For whatever reason, though Larry noticed the sprinkle on the face of Jesus, he didn't wipe it away. After Larry leaves, the two women of the house see the urine on the picture, which they assume is a teardrop because it's below Jesus's eye. And they both drop to their knees, claiming a miracle. Jesus is crying. Now, Twitter is all a tweet with people who are so upset by the episode, they are banding together to get the attention of Glenn Beck so that he will expose Larry David's supposed bigotry on Glenn Beck's own show. The website Big Hollywood has posted an email it received from someone who has promised to not watch Curb anymore. The email said, "What I saw made me feel a little sick, extremely disappointed, and a bit angry as well. I will never watch the show again, as I have lost all respect and feelings of goodwill for Mr. David." Several people have responded to the email in the comments section of the piece. Oddly, one person who describes Larry as a Christ hater seems to think that his actions somehow lessens the supposed anti-Semitism of Mel Gibson. The person wrote, "It doesn't take Mel Gibson." Oh, Jesus, I'm really shook. "It doesn't make Mel Gibson look anywhere near as bad now, does
it?" Wow.
Another person who vowed never to watch the show again said, "I loved the show and I thought it was so funny. All that has changed. I can't believe he is this crude and would go to this extreme to insult so many. As a Jew, he should understand compassion and sensitivity to others. I'm disgusted and disappointed."
And what's the problem again? Because why?
He goes into the bathroom, and for whatever reason, the house that he's in the bathroom, they have a picture of Jesus, like at eye level. Right, and I only saw the scene. I didn't see.
Oh, he accidentally pisses on it.
He doesn't.
He's
got a boner. For whatever reason, he's. I don't know if he hadn't been to the bathroom all day, so he gets in there and he's just. I mean, it's really coming out of him. It's like a, he's like a fireman trying to hold down a fire fire hose, and because the force is so powerful, some of the toilet water splashes back out. You see. And it splashes up on this photograph of Jesus, or picture of Jesus, photograph of Jesus, and he's thinking, "Oh, should I wipe it off?" And but he doesn't want to, so he ends up just leaving. And then you know the people at the house interpret it as a miracle. So he didn't even piss on the thing; it's backsplash from the toilet gets on a picture of Jesus, and a bunch of people had their panties in a bunch about this.
Wow,
I think I have it.
I think I have the video.
Yeah, it's on the web somewhere.
Yeah.
You can find it.
Oh yeah, second door on the right.
Okay.
How about a running commentary? Because I don't think there's any dialogue here, John.
Yeah.
You have to describe what's happening.
Oh, he's just firing it. The face he's making. The water splashing everywhere.
Yeah, he's really got to go.
He's like reeling back and water splashing everywhere. Oh, it's I just realized Jesus is really wet. Jesus is crying. Oh, and he licks his finger. Should I wipe it? I don't know what to do.
Wouldn't you get toilet paper and just wipe it off?
But I guess then he wouldn't have a show. Are you fucking kidding me? People are all worked up about this. Jesus wasn't white. Oh my God!
Well, in the photo, it shows Jesus as a white.
He's a white guy.
Well, the thing is, in the course of his career, Larry David has made fun of cancer, handicapped people, gays, people of different races, classes, animals, himself.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a painting
made in Taiwan
that represents a person that may or may not have existed in the greatest fairy tale ever told.
And he's white.
These same people get their panties in a bunch, John. I just don't get it.
Should I play the other clip?
What's the other clip?
get in your ass.
Oh, not yet.
Oh.
So, for this...
We
so
don't prepare for this show at all, folks.
I read this story, and then this somebody made a comment, and I thought it was a beautiful comment. Socket O. Socket O.
Socket O.
Says, Larry David makes fun of cancer. Jesus can cure cancer, but chooses not to. Who's the dick now?
Oh, that's a good one.
I thought that was great. You know, and it's interesting, these people will stop watching a show because Larry David splashed on a photo, a picture, not a photo, of Christ.
A photo?
But they'll still attend church that employs pedophiles.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Exactly.
Get it.
It boggles the mind. I mean, there's so many arguments you can have with these people, and it just kills me. It's so frustrating because they talk in the same voice, they talk in unison, they don't think practically, and then once you dig into it, they get so upset with you. Just drop it. Here we go.
Arrogant, condescending, pompous asshole.
Here we go. Yeah. And you just want to have a discussion.
Yeah.
Don't mess with my beliefs. Unbelievable.
The president of the Catholic League says comedian Larry David should quit while he's ahead. Following an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which we just talked about. Catholic League president Bill Donahue said the episode, which aired Sunday, is proof that the comedian's best years are behind him. Oh, I didn't know he watched the show before this. Was Larry David always this crude? Would he think it's comedic if someone urinated on a picture of his mother?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be in the next episode.
A painting, anyway, depicting her as black.
This might be
instead
fun.
Of white.
This might be fun to watch, but since HBO only likes to dump on Catholics, and David is Jewish, we'll never know. That's what he says. So then I went to, there was another link for Fox News.
Yeah.
Fox News had a story on this, so I wanted to see the comments on Fox News. Are you ready for some of the comments?
Yeah.
This is from Stop Spending. Maybe he can go to Cuba with his other Hollywood actors and urinate on each other, or maybe even at Castro's house. This is from Vote 2010-2012. God will see to it that this sin is dealt with. I have faith. This one is from Shaznak. What an uncultured, uncivilized human being. How do you get to be so demented, so out of touch with your humanity? I am sure that God knows how much this man needs his grace. But to the rest of us, David is just a piece of shit. This is from Dixie Ed Morton. Anyone who can defend this action has something seriously wrong with them. But I say yet again, anything that comes from the mouths, minds, and now privates of liberals no longer surprises me. They defend and condone every form of immorality and perversion known to man. This next one is from Patriot for Us.
Yeah, God is moral, right? Be good and you can go to heaven. Be bad and you're going to burn in the lake of fire.
Just get a comedian to defecate on a portrait of Barack Hussein Obama. Now that would be true comedy. And
wow!
You know, and there were thousands of these comments. I just went and grabbed like the first seven of them. This one's from Out of the Blue. This is our last one on this. Since gays have no symbols that they cherish, can we just take a leak on them? Or would they get off on that? That's from Out of the Blue.
Wow.
So just really entertaining reading if you have the time to check out the Fox News website.
These people are fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, it's
are
unbelievable.
Are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous. And, you know, I bet you these are the same people that when the Muslims got all their panties in a bunch about Muhammad.
Exactly.
They were the ones saying, oh, that's ridiculous. Why not make a cartoon of Muhammad? And yet,
what's the big deal? Yeah,
there is no big deal.
But get a little toilet water on my photograph. Now you got me saying it. Painting of the white Jesus.
Yeah.
A fictional character. Many Jesuses have existed. How do you know that's the right one?
Who would care if we took a shit on Aesop's Fables? Would anybody care?
How dare you?
That's a fairy tale. Nobody.
So can I play this clip yet? Or all right, are you so, still getting yeah, it to so, it? Or what?
Curb your enthusiasm.
Really long-winded.
Here is a clip of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
A clip.
A clip, yes.
Yes, man, I need to talk to you. What's going down, Larry? Listen to this, all right? In the doctor's office earlier, there's a guy sitting there, a skinhead, okay? He looks at me, and he says, what the fuck are you looking at, Jew boy? What? Fucking faggot.
What? What you do?
What I do?
Yeah, what you do?
I slunk out.
You slunk out?
Slunk. I slunk out.
So you didn't do shit, and you punked out. That's what fuck happened, right?
Yeah, I punked out. I punked out.
How'd that happen?
What was I gonna do? The guy could have killed me.
Next time a man called you a fucking faggot, you getting that ass, Larry. You know what I mean? You getting that ass, Larry. That's what the fuck you do.
What are you talking about?
You let the man slide today. You gotta immediately get in somebody's ass when that happens to you. You pull their asshole open, step into their asshole, close the door behind you. That spray paint can, right?
Uh-huh.
Larry was here. You spray paint, Larry was here, wash me, all that kind of shit. Fuck his whole asshole up. Eat some Snicker bars, throw some paper on the floor, read a newspaper, ball of paper up the newspaper, and throw the newspaper on the floor. Mm-hmm. Fuck his whole asshole up. You know what I'm saying? Then you open that asshole one more time. Open it again. Open that asshole again. Oh! Step out his ass. And leave that motherfucker wide open so he know you've been there.
Open it up. Step
in the asshole.
Spray paint. Larry was here. Leave garbage. Snickers. Eat Snickers. Leave garbage.
Spit. Fuck it.
Get out.
Mm.
Open it up again.
Yeah. Step out the asshole.
Step out.
Don't even close that motherfucker. Leave it open so he know you've been there. You feel me?
I got you.
That's how you handle people. Mm. Get in that ass, Larry.
Don't worry.
All right.
So, John, you've never seen this show?
No.
You got to check it out. It's good.
I've never seen it.
I think there's like season four or something.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
I think he takes a year off in between seasons. What I found out this week, though, that I didn't know, is that the whole thing is pretty much ad-libbed. Like, Larry David comes up with
I've heard the Jeff whatever on Steve Dahl show before.
Yeah. He comes up with the framework, and then he tells you as little as possible.
Here's the topic.
Yeah, here's the topic. Here's how I want you to behave or respond. Here's what's going to happen, and here's what I want you to do. And then the whole thing's ad-libbed.
Yeah.
And it's really a great show. You watch one episode of this, and it makes Seinfeld even look worse.
It's out of sight, man.
Yeah, so I think you would dig this show, man. You got to check it out. So that was the greatest story of all time.
Speaking of celebrities, this just in.
Yes.
I just got this email from Phil from Gene Yass.
Yes, Phil from Gene Yass, who we're going to have in on the program, Jim.
Yeah, I asked him, hey, man, is the Gene Yass album done yet? And he says, yeah, album is pretty much done. It's out there on Reverb Nation, the band's website, and I think iTunes already or soon. Marty has decided, after six remixes and rearranging the order, to do no more fudging with it. We have all agreed it is time to move on. There are a few minor problems with stick out like dog balls, but we can't nitpick any longer on a first DIY effort.
What's DIY?
Do it yourself.
I see. Very good.
And that's it.
That's it.
So you want to hear a track?
Sure. Let's hear a track off of the Gene Yass album. Now, how long were they working on this?
2 years.
Seven remixes?
Six.
Six, okay.
Love doesn't come.
Have we heard enough yet? I mean, we just gotta want to. You want to leave the audience wanting
more.
That's
a good
right?
one. That's a good one.
Right, John.
That one sounds pretty good.
That's their.
That's one they play it on their show. This is another one they play it on their show.
I like this mix better.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, John.
Yeah.
If your best friend is gay, doesn't that make you gay?
No. Why would that make you gay?
Is there any heterosexual man alive today that would say that their best friend is a homosexual?
I don't know. Maybe. Brother? Somebody's brother?
And if that were the case... What I'm hypothesizing here is that the heterosexual claiming that his best friend is a homosexual is really homosexual, pretending to be a heterosexual.
Why? Why do you say that? That's like saying a guy can't have a best friend, a girl that's a best friend.
Do you have a girl that's a best friend?
My wife.
Right. And you're married to her.
Yeah.
And you have things with her.
Like what things? No,
you
can,
have a very intimate relationship.
What if you're single and you have a girl that's a best friend, but you just don't do it?
Yeah.
Like Jerry Seinfeld.
I would argue that there
here's
no
another song
heterosexual that, male.
Here's another song that they did on her show.
That is friends with a heterosexual female.
I really, this is like the dumbest discussion ever.
I will argue that the ultimate motive is to
you have
take it
no
to the next
idea
level.
What the fuck you're talking about. That's pure opinion.
Well, contradict my opinion. Bring a different opinion.
I just said, yeah. It's possible. Enough said.
I disagree.
Good. That's just it's dumb. You got nothing.
I got nothing. What do you got?
I got it's possible.
I disagree.
You're lame. There's no way. How could you disagree with that?
I disagree. Well, we started talking about you moved it over to a completely heterosexual relationship between a man and a woman.
You're saying that that a guy and a girl can't have a platonic relationship, that it's strictly no sex involved, no desire to have sex. And with guys, it's totally different.
And be best friends.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm saying that's not possible.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. I don't know about that. But
either one or the other is lying about their sexuality.
Okay, let's clear the air on that one. It is possible, yet maybe it's not, because nature and the whole reproductive thing that plays a part of it. But with gay people, there's no... What would be the attraction?
Right.
You could be totally heterosexual and have a gay friend that's a best friend.
I don't think
not,
you could.
And why?
I don't think you could.
Why? There's no nature involved in that, unless you are gay.
I guess when I think about best friends, it's I'm thinking about, well, they hang out together. That's
they
cool.
They fart and smell each other's farts, and they shower together.
Well, no, they not necessarily do that, but let's stick with your hypothesis. I just can't see them hanging out together. To have a relationship that would be classified intimate enough to be best friends...
I don't understand why.
Well, I don't understand why they would.
Why wouldn't they?
The cultures are too different.
Not necessarily. They are still men. And there is one half of a group, a pair of gay guys, that is more manly than the other. And they share, you know, the same interests. Sports, farting, lighting farts, dick jokes.
All right. Well, let's put it out there. We have a large audience, John. Let's ask if any of our listeners are best friends with a gay man.
Okay. Well, anyways, we started this off before Scott became condescending. And we had this, we were listening to this band, Gene Yass, that was a... that was on the show. They were a guest on the show, and Scott rudely interrupted the entire process to analyze a lyric in their song, which I have no idea why, because if we ever heard one of Scott's songs, Granny Scrawny Head,
Capitalistic Commie.
Yeah,
there
we go.
We've heard that before.
Capitalistic Commie.
Yes.
Now, can there be a capitalistic commie?
Yeah, there was one.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Who?
A spy for the U.S. who sold secrets to the to Russia.
He was a capitalist and a communist at the same time?
Yeah.
How can that be?
Well, he was a capitalist because he sold secrets, and he was a communist because he was associated with the Russians.
That doesn't mean he was a communist. It just meant he was a capitalist.
I could argue that he was a communist.
You can argue dog shit. You can argue about a rubber dog shit and the significance of its worth.
I could.
Ridiculous.
I would argue that a rubber dog shit is worth
more. Now I could understand where your cousin and family come from.
I would argue.
I would probably side with them.
I would argue that a rubber dog shit.
I would probably side with your cousins and your mom
and
your
real dog shit. That would be an easy argument.
I could sit there and see why you are the way you are. Why they describe you that way. Because you don't listen to anything. You just argue for the sake of arguing.
You finally figured that out.
Yeah,
I
think so.
It's not really arguing for the sake of arguing. It's arguing, and I don't really consider it an argument. It's an exchange of ideas.
No, it's not.
Yes.
You could, no. An exchange of ideas is about there should be some substance to it. Like I said, you can argue the worth of a rubber dog shit, which has no value. There's
it has
nothing...
more value than a real dog shit.
Oh, my God. I disagree. Some people could eat dog shit and find food.
I don't think there's anybody
that
eats
dog shit.
All right, let's move
on. Let's move on because you're really boring me.
I don't think
there's
anybody that eats dog shit. All right, we're moving on. What do you got? What's next?
It's your show, man. It's your show.
All right, let's call it a night.
Okay.
180 comes to a close.
All right.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.